Let's open up to the scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just going to talk about, the title of this talk is His Commandments. It comes up every now and again, His Commandments. I gave a talk recently and it was just peripherally mentioned following His Commandments, and someone said to me, well, what are His Commandments? And I was thinking, okay, they were joking, of course, but we'll have some read some scriptures about that. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 4, this is as Israel's still in the wilderness. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So God here is telling His chosen people, which we are, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are to follow His commandments. And it starts there that we shall love Him with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. And with having that desire to follow Him and having that love for Him, we shall teach each other about His commandments, talk about them, have them frontlets between our eyes, have them constantly on our mind, churning through the scriptures. It says, binding them for a sign on our hand. You know, what we do, we're applying the scriptures in our life. And it can be difficult to apply the scriptures in our life, but that's what the Lord wants us to do. Bind them for a sign around our hand, being what we do. We write them upon the posts of our house and in our gates. We have it around us always so that we can know what God wants in our life, that indeed we can grow and be encouraged in the things of the Lord. That's what God wants. He wants us to follow His commandments and to know what they are. The Lord wants us to follow His commandments and have them always around us and know what they are and apply them in our life. And we'll read some scriptures about the Lord asking us to follow His commandments, but then there are promises that follow. If you follow His commandments, then, you know, this will happen. And so we'll read some of that. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. The Lord has shown us. He hasn't hidden it somewhere for us to find. He has shown it to us. Verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So here we go. There's more about the commandments. That they are there for us to find out and discover and apply. We don't need anyone special to come to us, anyone enlightened to come to us and tell us what they are. It's very nigh us. The Lord has gone to a lot of trouble for us to have the scriptures in our hand that we may plough through them and read them and understand them. He's written it in words and ways that we are easy to understand. He's written it as unto babes. And then there's this promise, like if you walk in His ways and keep His commandments and statutes and judgments, you may live and multiply. The Lord shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest. We've entered the kingdom of God. We now dwell in the spiritual, in a spiritual type of land here on earth. We have the kingdom of God in us. He'll bless us. If we follow His commandments, He'll bless us. You know, it's just wonderful to know that. And that's why we have testimonies of people putting the Lord first, their desires to serve the Lord first, and then blessings follow. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? and bow myself before the high God? You know, it's a question like, how can I present myself before the Lord? How is it that me, as a mere human being, how can I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? What is it that I must do? What is it that I must do to please the Lord? It's quite a good question. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? You know, shall I do that? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? You know, okay, do I come with all these sacrifices? But then how many? You know, how much do I bring? You know, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You know, like, what shall I do? Verse 8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Okay, so yeah, we come here. What? I remember before I came to the Lord, I was confused. What do I do? I really want to please the Lord. What do I do? You know, there's so many ideas and so many different things that people say that you must do. But it says there in verse 8, he's shown us what is good. God has shown us what is good and what we must do, what he requires of us. You know, it's near us. It's not far away. To do justly, you know, do the right thing. To love mercy. Mercy rejoices over judgment. And to walk humbly with thy God. You know, three very important facets that we can apply in our life. There are other things that I'll bring up later, but we do justly, the right thing. We love mercy. You know, that grace and seeing people flourish. And also to walk humbly with thy God. Walking humbly with thy God. You know, Lord, you are God. You know, you are God. I am not. I am weak. I am in the flesh. But you are God, humbly before him and following his ways ahead of what we think's right. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So here's this other kind of promise thing, right? First of all, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you do that, then I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter. So it starts with us following him. Yes, we love God and then we'll do his commandments. Then he'll give us a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. That's another promise. He's promised to comfort us, and he will not leave us if we follow his commandments. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. So there's that peace as well. Do not be troubled. There's that promise. We get this comforter that is promised if we follow his commandments. And it says there, if a man love Jesus Christ, he'll keep his words. What he says, he'll follow, he'll do. And to back that up, our Father in heaven will love us as well. And we will come unto him, come unto God, and make our abode with him forever. You know, we'll live with him. But it starts with us following his commandments and doing his will. And that Comforter, verse 26, that Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. will grow in knowledge and understanding. God, through the Holy Ghost, will teach us all things. If we have that, if we're humbly walking with our God, he'll teach us all things and we'll grow. Over to chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Okay, so if we stop following his ways, we stop abiding in his love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, Jesus Christ here, the Son of God, you know, is commanding us that we love one another. As Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, you know, he showed abundant love toward us, this unmerited favour. He wants us also to look at the Spirit and not at the flesh. You know, here in Bunbury, we get used to looking at the Spirit, not the flesh. The motley crew that we are, and we have that that thing where we can love the brothers and sisters because we look at the Spirit, not the failings of the flesh. And we carry on following his commandments, and then we still abide in the love of God. You know, we're part of that kingdom. We're not pushed aside. Back to chapter 8 of John and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? If we follow God's word, continue in God's word, continue to abide in his love, then we are his disciples. We are like the 12 apostles. We are his disciples. We are the disciplined ones. And then it goes, and ye shall know the truth. Okay? That truth, that righteous judgment, what is right and wrong, we'll know how to apply it in our lives. And that truth, if we're walking in spirit and truth, shall make us free. Okay? And so there's another promise. If we follow his commandments and follow his ways, we'll learn the truth, and that'll make us free. You know, we all want to be free. You know, we are servants of the living God, which doesn't sound like freedom, but we are free. We are serving him. The truth shall make us free. Over to Acts chapter 1. It's so important that we follow God's ways and not man's ways. Man's ways change. They flop about. They're emotional, depending on what's popular. But God is consistent. Acts chapter 1. Great verses here, starting verse 1. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. So there's another promise, just wait. Jesus, that's his commandment to these people, about 120. He commanded them that they wait in Jerusalem. You know, and then as a result of that waiting, the promise of the Father will be poured out upon them. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Baptism by water is so important. That's why John went first. But Jesus here is saying this promise of the Father that you've heard of me is this Holy Ghost, that comforter that we read back in John chapter 14, which is the Holy Ghost, which is a great promise, will be poured out not many days hence. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's like, wait, nope, that's not the deal here. You know, the important thing is, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. It's nothing to do with a battle and restoring kingdom on earth. It's nothing to do with that. The important thing for you to know is receiving this power, this promise from the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. And verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay? Wonderful promise. If you follow my word, if you do my commandments, then these things will come. Over to chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is that promise of the Father. This is that power. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Comforter. This is the peace. This is the joy. This is the entering in of the kingdom of God. If you follow his commandments, these are real things. And this room is full of testimonies of that. People following God's commandments in that instance before they'd received the Holy Spirit. Still a bit of confusion because you're still looking at the flesh because that's all you could do. But you thought, nope, it's in the scriptures. These people here have got a real experience. I can see it. So I'll believe what the scriptures say, not what people are saying. I'll follow God's commandments and pray for this Holy Ghost. And he will give us that power and we'll speak in tongues. Over to our verse 38, which is the key scripture of the revival fellowship, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you follow these commandments, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance, humility, you are God. I cannot please you in my own flesh. Repenting is so important. Baptism by full immersion, we've covered that. For the remission of sins. That's how important baptism is. To us, it just seems like we're getting wet, but before God, it's for the remission of sins. And as a result of that, you pray for the Holy Spirit, and God will graciously grant you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's just wonderful when we can reflect on that moment, how the Lord did answer. No matter how long we were seeking, people around us were encouraging us to keep seeking, keep at it. And he did. He answered our prayer, and that promise was given when we received the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. That's the born-again experience. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister or a servant. So that gospel that was preached, that word, that living word was preached. And Paul here writing to the Colossians just is encouraging them and us to continue in that faith, being grounded and settled, comfortable that we're following his ways, comfortable that we are serving a God who answers prayer, that when he promises something, it will come to pass if we follow his commandments. And it says there in verse 21, once upon a time, you know, we were aliens. We were out and about. We weren't part of the kingdom, unknown to God. We're even enemies by wicked works. But now God has reached out and drawn us to him, to be a part of his body, reconciled us to God. And that's what he's done because we followed his commandments. We now dwell in his love. 3 John, verse 11. Just one verse here.
3 John,
verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Right, so there you go. That's what he's saying. Just follow those things that are good. You know, deep within us, we know what's good. You know, even with the Holy Spirit, we know what's good. You know, and so let's do that which is good, not that which is bad. You know, quite simple, but so hard to apply in our lives. Because we are covered in this cloak of flesh as well. But that's what the Lord's asking us to. That's his commandment, that we do which is good and turn away from that which is evil. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, coming to meetings, reading the scriptures, praying in the spirit, that's where we get refined and we learn more and more what is good and what is evil. That dividing line between good and evil gets clearer and clearer. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Okay, some more here. Let us follow. Follow after these things, these examples, these things to do, these commandments that have a result that is peace, make for peace, and to edify one another, to build each other up, encourage each other in the way they walk in the Lord. You know, things that come and buffet us, encourage people. No, carry on. Stay focused on the things of the Lord. Look back on your testimony and see, look, the Lord helped you out there. The Lord helped you out there. The Lord helped you out there. So carry on. Edify, build up, encourage. Have that joy and follow these things that are for peace, where there's arguing and differences and so forth. Calm it down. Let there be peace, you know. Let there be peace amongst the saints, the spirit-filled people, peace and edification. And then we have a strong assembly. We have a strong body of Christ that is looking to God and is unified as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So there's a few short verses here that are good little commandments to follow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, we encourage you, we edify you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. You know, warn them that are unruly. Those that are disruptive. You know, those that are causing conflict. Warn them. Comfort the feeble-minded, the weak. Comfort them and encourage them. Support them. Be patient toward all men. You know, there's that peace. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You know, not only in amongst ourselves, but there's that testimony of those that are out and about. Rejoice evermore. You know, praise the Lord. Start your prayer with praise, praising God for what he's done. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Keep getting on your knees, praying in the Spirit, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what you think. Keep praying. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Thank the Lord, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's his commandment. The will of God in Christ Jesus, his will, is that we give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Check all things. Hold fast that which is good. Be grounded. Be firm. Stand firm. Hold fast. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace, there's that peace again, sanctify you wholly. That is a promise. If you do these things and follow these commandments, the God of peace will sanctify us. He'll separate us as being a part of his own kingdom, his own children. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How far am I going? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Okay? Great promises there. Commandments that are listed at the start there for us to apply in our daily life as a result of that. God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. He called us, and then he will sanctify us. We are perfect. We're pure. We are cleansed before God and we'll be raised up to meet him in the air. Another promise. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Okay? God loved us first. As a result of that, we love him. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? It's logical. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So great things there, great words, and encouraging us. That's the commandment of the Lord, is that we love one another. You know, that we sing that chorus as well, we love one another, we love the brethren. And it, logic here, that if we see each other and we hate the people that we see, how can we love God who we do not see? You know, it's just lip service. You know, follow his commandments. And I like how it says in verse 3, the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Okay? God has not given us commandments to follow that are grievous. You know, he knows our abilities. He knows what we can and can't do more than we do. And he has provided us commandments to give us an expected end. So he's given us commandments that are not grievous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So we just follow that with this expected end, and a great thing will come, great blessing, that if we overcome the world, you know, Jesus has overcome the world, we have victory through him, even through our faith. Penultimate scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So there's a commandment, you know, as we're working, we're doing work for our bosses here on earth, you know, and it says here, like you could rewrite it in a way that applies today. Let anybody who's employed as are employed by our masters or our bosses give them all honor, and as a result of that, you know, as a result of that testimony, the name of God and his doctrine will not be blasphemed. You know, because we give them honor as the Lord has asked to do. We follow the commandments, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, you know, opposite to God's commandments, different to God's commandments, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. You know, he doesn't have a vision. He's not focused on the commandments of the Lord and the way of the Lord, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So that list of things there is opposite to these things of joy and peace and edification. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's just something that we are continually learning about in our life. Godliness with contentment is great gain, to learn to be content. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. You know, this is a commandment, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Follow God's pathways, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So different to the list of things in verses 4 and 5. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, fight the good fight. Be active. Lay hold on that eternal life. Grab hold of it and know what we're a part of. You know, we've been called to be a part of and to profess a good profession. you know, before many witnesses. We'll have a testimony where we can stand up and be proud. I mean, it's a funny word to use there, but to be proud of how we've just followed the Lord. We've resisted things, the fiery darts of the devil. You know, that we have followed him. We've kept his commandments and carry on with... Oh, yeah, sorry, there's more here. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth or maketh alive all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we carry on following his commandments until Jesus returns. Simple as that. Last scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And there's that point there. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight that good fight of faith. Be determined. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. More commandments here. Preach the word. Be instant or ready, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So let us not be like that, but continue to follow his commandments. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry or service. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Love his appearing. Look forward to his appearing, knowing that they've been following his commandments. And to be ready, you know, having that crown of righteousness. Paul here is confident that he's fought the good fight. You know, as we read before, fight the good fight. You know, he's finished his course. You know, he's, after years of serving the Lord, he sits back. Look, I can't do it anymore. You know, because of constraints, I can't do what I used to be able to do, but hey, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course, kept the faith. I was determined to follow God's commandments, and I was to the end. And as a result of that, Paul was confident of the promise of the crown of righteousness that he'll receive when Jesus Christ returns. So let's be like that. Let us be determined. Let us have that mindset of not to waver. Stand fast and follow his commandments regardless of what we may hear or tugs that we may have from somewhere else, because there is this wonderful expected end, a crown of righteousness where we'll dwell with God forever. And when we get to that point in our life where things are around us, that where we cannot do what we used to be able to do for the Lord, but you can sit back and say, right, I did what I did when I could, and I have fought the good fight, and I've finished my course. And I look forward to that crown of righteousness.